something I've been wanting to talk about for a little while now is slavery. I think I had all these ideas in my head about what I wanted to say or how I wanted to say it or if I wanted to do a video. It was like, you know, pretty obsessive, me thinking about this. And I realized the thing about this podcast is, yeah, sometimes I can have ideas about what I want to talk about, but sometimes I just need to talk about it. I don't need to plan or think about what I want to say. I just trust that the universe will guide me. The universe will guide me. The universe does guide me. The universe always guides me. Thank you, universe. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so, I thought about a particular woman, Carolyn Brown. And she was owned by a man with the initials IF. Isaac Franklin. And it sounds so strange to even say that a human was owned by another human. It sounds so strange. Maybe I just couldn't imagine being a witness to this. If I was born in those times, would I think like this? Would I be brainwashed? Like many, into thinking that it was okay? Once malicious behaviors begin to be accepted, other people's consciousness follows suit. And malicious behaviors aren't just how we treat other people, it's how we treat ourselves. Sometimes more malicious to ourselves, attacking ourselves, demeaning ourselves. If we do that, we give other people permission to do it as well. But now we'll go back to physical behaviors that spread as the social norm. And maybe his parents were awful to him. One can only assume. Or maybe the eye on the prize, the money, el dinero. Maybe the eye on the prize led to the destructive behavior because money became more important than humans. It's happening today. It's happening today. Lots of people with the eye on the prize, they forgot about the humans. Just like Dr. Seuss talks about Mac, the bottom of the stack. Same thing happening today. Thank you, Dr. Seuss. Thank you, thank you, thank you. celebrating Dr. Seuss could also be recognizing what he was saying in his books. He was talking about the same stuff that's happening today. So going back to someone having their eye on the prize and maybe coming from an unhealthy child-parent relationship. Maybe some traumas happened, who knows? And his nephew as well, became his nephew by marriage, J.A. John Armfield. They partnered together and became two of the wealthiest Americans. So all these people who became Americans by being sold, kidnapped, or won in a battle, this is research, Wikipedia, all those people who became Americans in this way, sold, kidnapped, or won in battles, or gifted. Some slaves were gifted. Here's a gift. Merry Christmas. All of these Americans, lots of them coming from Angola, West Africa. Some research said 12.5 million slaves. 12.5 million new Americans. I wouldn't say they were immigrants exactly, because they didn't just try to flee by their own will, or sometimes not by their own will, being forced out because of other people's malicious behaviors. Well, they were forced out, but not in a way that we see today with immigrants. Don't necessarily call them immigrants. These people who became Americans, who were shipped as if they were boxes, barely got any space, emotions, needs, physical needs, emotional needs, none of that was taken into consideration when they were shipped here, as if they were boxes and had no feelings or hearts or lives from wherever they came from. And then once they got here, it was worse. And not all plantation owners or slave owners were malicious. There was a spectrum. But the ones that were malicious, whippings, beatings, rapes. And you know, reminds me of two things I wanted to talk about. One, I was reading in an article that men who were slaves, who were raped, were supposed to have their pants hang low so that they could be recognized as the ones who were raped. And I find it very interesting that men today do that. They hang their pants low. And I have a feeling it might be directly linked to slavery. Americans are doing this nowadays still. It's not as popular, But I just saw it the other day. A man walking with his pants hanging down. I could see half of his underwear. And if his underwear weren't there, I would have got a pretty good estimate of the length of his butt crack. Or the width of it, or I don't know. I would have got a good view. They were hanging down pretty low. And I'm guessing this is directly linked to this thing that happened. And so that would be an example of generational trauma right there. And also, the second thing I wanted to talk about, Carolyn Brown. And from my understanding, she was raped by IF for 5 years, from 13 to 18. And she had a baby to him. And eventually, once he got married, he sold her and their baby to another slave owner and never saw her again. Just like that. Just like that. So there are these people who became new Americans. Forced to be here. And not just to be here. To be slaves here. That's why we can't call them immigrants. And it has happened to many Mexicans who've come here as immigrants. Who work their butts off here. And as far as I know, they haven't gotten whipped and beaten and raped. And they were paid. Usually low wages. Because lots of times it's not at the table. But they were paid. So that was good. I guess we can call that progress. Mexicans that are also now Americans, or even if they're not considered American by nationality, such beautiful people. And the descendants from Africa, also beautiful people. They come here, are beaten down, don't have ancestors that come here in the beginning, right? That have land, have jobs. Most of these slaves aren't making any money. It was the exception that slaves would make money. So how are they gonna survive here? They run away, the Underground Railroad, finally. And then what? Imagine starting off. You're running north and you have no money. No home, no family. And you're going to start a new life somewhere away from slavery. And all you can do is pray to whatever God that the kindness in someone's heart is there to help you when you get there. And there were people like that. there were Americans that helped, and they were the angels of their time. Harriet Tubman, an angel of her time. Wow. So much strength and endurance and bravery and love. She loved people, even though she was treated so harshly. She knew how to love. So all these people are going to find freedom. And they're coming with this mentality of strength and resilience. And they're also coming from a background of decades of being beaten and raped and separated from their families and whipped and humiliated and segregated, not able to go into restaurants, not able to vote, not treated like a human being. Their God-given right. So they're coming with this background and this mentality of survival. And then they're having babies, more babies. And they're starting to be able to keep their families together. But they're still poor. They weren't taught to read. They weren't taught to write. They were not educated. And so here they are, trying to figure out. Lots of people are figuring out how to trust me because people thought I was here for their own good and their own use and their own disposal. And now I'm asking them to give me a job that I can get paid for. I'm capable, but I need a job I can get paid for. And so that's been a very difficult thing. So lots of these new Americans stayed in poverty and they had to get clever with how they were going to make money. So why do you suppose lots of these Americans are selling drugs or in gangs? They're still in survival mode. That's generational trauma. And so some of these plantation owners, IF's wife, built the Louisiana State Penitentiary. And guess what? A man ended up buying that for her, and maybe she was doing the same thing. But guess who ended up in these penitentiaries? Lots of these new Americans. They didn't have a place to go because they didn't have any money saved up. But they're not slaves anymore. And they needed work and money now because they don't have a home. They're not living on plantations. So they end up criminalizing their survival behavior. So they end up in the penitentiary. And then guess what? They get out of there, and guess what? The new owner, and maybe even the first owner, Adelaide, the second owner, I believe his name was Samuel, he starts having these new Americans do what they called convict labor. And I am not certain if they got paid for that. Maybe small amounts. So now they get out of the penitentiary after they went in from doing something that they were trying to do to survive, or something that they learned from their masters. They get out, back into a different type of slavery. And so imagine getting out of that cycle. Imagine. Very, very difficult. One way is the military, which I also joined because that was my way out of poverty. And there was pride in it. Two of my sisters had already joined. And I knew I could pay for college without going into debt. I could pay for college. And I am very thankful for this. And also, we can see the pattern here. The military draws in these people. And not all the military is made up of that, but lots of it is. A way to get out of poverty. A way to break away from family ties that bond us, that need to be retied with a healthier shoelace. So here we are. Carolyn Brown is just one of the women of so many who were treated unfairly, unjustly, cruelly. Harshly, maliciously. And there were many men and many children. Imagine being born into slavery. Imagine. So lots of these new Americans today the Americans of African descent are struggling. Because look at how they got here and where they came from. And so they have lots of programs to rewrite. And they need our help. They need kindness. And so when they say Black Lives Matter, it's because they want to feel like their lives matter too. Like they can finally be recognized as human beings on this land called America, United States of America. So the states might be united by borders besides Hawaii and Alaska. But what about the people? What if it was United People of America? You know, the preamble starts, "We the people of the United States of America." What if it was "We the United People of the States of America"? What a big difference that would make. "We, the United People of the States of America." "We, the United People of the States of America." And that would be totally different, wouldn't it? We'd see things differently, wouldn't we? Yes, all lives do matter. All lives do matter. This is true. But Black people weren't ever saying that. They were trying to say that it's been a long time that we haven't mattered since the beginning of our time being shipped here like boxes. It's time for us to matter. Because we're not boxes, we're humans. We're human beings, just like you. I breathe just like you. I consume food just like you. I excrete waste just like you. I want family and friends and community and a healthy quality of life just like you. I want time to relax with my family, just like you. I want time to enjoy life and the earth's beauty, just like you. I want the resources to relearn programs, just like you. Because, you know, we all have different programs that we need to redo. Until we get to our saintlyhood, our motherhood, our fatherhood, our nurturehood. Until we get into those divinity energies completely, we all need to rewrite some programs. And some of us have a lot more resources to do that than others. And so people that are receiving government assistance, I being one, it's because they needed it. They needed to rewrite some programs. But some of them aren't aware yet. They're not aware. They haven't been able to get out of survival mode and thrive. When you're stuck in survival mode, it's hard to be aware of much except for surviving. And people are very resilient and will do whatever it takes to survive. And so yes, Black lives do matter. and white privilege was a thing and is a thing. And we can see where it came from. The Native Americans had to fight for the land that was theirs. It was theirs. And these other new Americans came from Europe and Israel and the United Kingdom. And some from South America. And they fought them. They fought them for this land, these Native Americans, that was theirs. And they took all the land. And lots of that land was given to the state. State land. And so there was nothing left over except for what everyone else had to purchase. And so they tried to make it up for the Native Americans with casinos, giving them reservations. Yeah, and some survived, yes. Some survived the trauma they went through, the battles they had to fight for something that was already technically theirs. And they didn't even see it that way. They would have shared. The land is to Mother Earth. The land is sacred. The land wasn't meant for just one person. It was meant to be shared. So maybe they would be the Native Americans. They are the first Americans. The European, Israel. United Kingdom. They were the second Americans. And the Africans were the third. And the Africans did so much for this country. They were doing everything. The railroads, the houses, all the buildings. The cotton. The child rearing, the nursing of the children. The cooking, the music, they had so much skill, so intelligent. They helped build this country. We owe them so much gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for building the roads and the railroads and the homes and the buildings and starting civilization here in a new way. Thank you for your hard labor. Thank you for loving on the children. Thank you for cooking, for feeding us. Thank you for all your love. and to the Native Americans, thank you for your culture, your singing and your dancing, the way you dress, the way you respect Mother Earth so much and everything that's on her. Thank you. I think of you often when I think about how I talk to the trees and the bugs and the birds. I think about you often. And how, if I'm eating an animal, I thank it. I thank it for dying and living and sharing its life with me. And I think of you. I think of you and how you respected everything you had to kill and eat. You loved it. You honored it. Thank you for that. It's very powerful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And back to the Americans, the new Americans who descended. Well, the new Americans who came from Africa. And now, the Americans that we have here, who descended from Africa. Thank you for taking care of us. And building this nation. We owe you so much. You matter so much. And I hope that we can give you enough resources to stop cycles that aren't helping, to rewrite your programs manually. You deserve everything. We all deserve everything. It's time to share our resources. Kindness is a resource. It's a resource for people, not only because some people can't afford it to be kind because of their hard life. They haven't gotten there. But also because if we can be kind to these people who are really struggling, we help them find their way. Showing someone what kindness looks like is teaching them about kindness. If no one was taught kindness, if a person was not taught kindness, it's hard to figure out. It's hard to get out of that program. It can be done. It has been done. It's challenging. So our kindness resource is so important. And people can learn to be kind to themselves, realize they're worthy. This is for all Americans. This is for all humans. We all deserve kindness. Especially the people who came here completely against their will. They need kindness. They need to be shown. So to Carolyn Brown, I love you.